This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One.
I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer. Come along and join me for an exploration of Tennessee's rural realms. Discovery Park of America is located in Union City, a three-hour drive from Nashville. The park features an array of attractions focused on science, technology, engineering, and math, a vintage steam engine and train depot, log cabins, a Titan missile, and much more. Next up is the historic village of Rugby, 75 miles from Knoxville. Rugby was established in 1880 as an experimental utopian community. Morristown is a small town just 50 miles from Knoxville, but its economic engine is dynamic, with an array of manufacturers, including a Colgate Palmolive factory and the newly arrived international bus manufacturer, Van Hool. Monroe County is just an hour's drive from Knoxville, but it's a realm where small-town life is vibrant and outdoor activities rule, including Craighead Caverns, home of the Lost Sea Adventure, where cave tours include the world's largest underground lake, complete with boat rides.
I'm Scott Williams, President and CEO of Discovery Park of America here in Union City, Tennessee.
So you have a definite full-time job here.
I definitely do. As you can hear the train whistles behind us, it's an amazing region full of a lot of outdoor activities and then this incredible museum and heritage park right here in the middle of it.
I've been across America many times, and I've never encountered a place like this.
You know, there honestly isn't a place like this anywhere in the world. I, too, have traveled everywhere and worked in a variety of museums and attractions. The thing about this is it's a 100,000-square-foot museum on a 50-acre heritage park here in what was 5 years ago just a cornfield. And Robert Kirkland was a philanthropist who decided to invest his fortune in the people of this area through a museum and heritage park. And so it's such a blessing.
It really is incredible. And you think about it, this is a privately funded, this isn't public or Smithsonian or whatnot.
Exactly right. We have a lot of partners who help support in addition to the Kirkland's Foundation, but it's $100 million he invested right off on the front. So everything here is the best quality you'll find anywhere. The paths that you go down with the water around and the landscaping, you know, it's beautiful, first of all. And then you've got things like the 1850s church that is actually, you know, a church that's been taken apart and reconstructed. Here you have the Liberty Bell right across the way.
Blue Angel Jet.
That's right, a Blue Angel Jet. As I like to explain to people, it's like a curio cabinet. You never know what you're going to find right around the corner.
And again, back to the founder and the visionary, he was in the sunset days of his life. He knew and understood his mortality and knew he wasn't going to be even around to enjoy the fruits of his vision. And yet, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, his motivation was the fact that he was born here in Union City and he raised his family here. He had gotten to travel all over the world in his business, and so he wanted to bring a little bit of that to the people here.
He brought a lot of that.
He brought a whole lot of it. You know, a lot of the children that live in some of the school districts around here, the very first time they ever see an escalator in person is when they come here to Discovery Park. So you start from there, and they're exposed to everything from giant dinosaur bones to a Titan missile that's actually out there. We have 1800s cabin, you know, everything you can imagine to inspire someone, you know, with all of the STEM, you know, and art and, you know, science, technology, engineering, everything, you know, and for adults too. I see something different every single time I walk around.
Yeah, I bet you could come here week after week and dig deeper.
Oh, absolutely. You can absolutely find details and nuances, things that jump out at you that maybe hadn't jumped out at you before. Everywhere you go, you see something brand new.
And do you partner with any of the colleges and universities from an educational component?
Sure. We've got several that are around here from University of Tennessee at Martin and Dyersburg State. There are others that we partner with them on both folks to work here, but also on some of our education programs.
That's really cool. I think one of the disconnects is that you almost literally have to come here to realize the enormity and the breadth of the incredible objects that you have.
You know, I compare it sometimes to trying to photograph the moon with your iPhone. You take a picture of it, and then you look at it, and you're like, it doesn't look anywhere near as good as it does in the sky. So it's the same kind of thing where, you know, people really have to come here and walk around. And that's probably the comment that I hear the most is, I had no idea. People say, oh my gosh, I wish I had planned to be here a whole nother day. Because you really could spend a couple days here and never get bored. The biggest challenge is, how do you communicate the enormity of this place?
Well, and again, to be blunt, and this is in the middle of nowhere.
Sure. It's definitely in a very rural community. No matter where you come from, you drive through a rural communities to get here, through fields, and, you know, actually from Memphis or Paducah or Jackson or St. Louis. I mean, it's a very beautiful drive because it's lots of, you know, field and barns and farms. It's a great road trip. But when you get here, you come around that corner, and boom, the gigantic Discovery Center is right there. And, I mean, it is impossible to describe, but it is an architectural icon on its own. You know, just the building itself, stunning. And then as you walk around, people just can't get enough. They just keep thinking, oh, we must be almost done. And they keep going and keep going and keep going. So that's honestly the biggest challenge, is how do you communicate the enormity of everything that's here?
So let's say you get to square one and you visually or graphically communicate that. But again, being in the middle of in a rural area, attracting your demographic, it seems to me to be coming from somewhere, going to somewhere. Mm-hmm. So your art is to get them to detour.
Absolutely that. And there are, the interesting thing about this area is it's about 15, 20 minutes away from Realfoot Lake, which was actually formed in the early 1800s when an earthquake took place here and the Mississippi River flowed backwards and filled it up. So it's a fascinating place where you, if you know, if you're a duck hunter or a bird watcher, we get a lot of people here who are nature lovers. So there's that, there's this, there's a town that has, you know, restaurants and things like that in it. So we have new hotels being built right beside us. So what we anticipate is we will become a destination for day trippers here shortly, especially once the hotels are finished. That's the biggest challenge here, is if you get here at 10 when we open, you don't want to leave at 5 when we close. You want to come back the next day, and we do sell, you know, 2-day tickets.
So far, what are your statistics on demographics and where they come from, how they find you, you know, where they're going to?
Sure. Currently, people are coming here primarily from Jackson, Memphis, Paducah, you know, the drive cities. We're also working with group tours, so we do get group tours of people who are traveling through the South on a bus, you know, touring probably on their way to Nashville, possibly Memphis, maybe Jackson.
But your regional tourists, visitors, they are making it a specific destination.
Correct. And typically, just like in every other museum or attraction, it's mom who usually makes right. The decision on where to go. So we want to make sure mom understands that when she's trying to plan where to go, that we have something here for little kids, big kids, kids at heart. You know, there's nobody who walks away from here saying, oh, well, that wasn't for me.
How about cost of entry? Is it a major issue for the families to be able to afford to bring a whole family here?
No, and there's a variety of price points and different types of tours. We have a basic $14.95 price point tour, and then we have a family membership if somebody thinks they're going to come back multiple times. We also have a lot of group rates, you know, and of course senior citizen, AARP, all those kind of things. So that's the other thing, and just it's an affordable experience.
Yes, you've made it affordable, so there's not that price resistance.
We never really hear or feel that. And especially, you know, from, you know, me coming from Washington, D.C. to work here, you know, I'm used to some of the non-Smithsonian museums having a price point that's even higher.
Oh, yeah, way higher. A moment about you and how mm-hmm. you got here and what
sure.
your background is.
Yeah, so I have a passion for history. history, especially history of the South around West Tennessee, where my family comes from. I worked for Elvis Presley Enterprises for 12 years and worked at Graceland and worked the attractions business there, and then ended up at the museum in Washington, D.C., and I was there for many years and loved working there. I love everything about the museum business, and so, of course, in my spare time, I have a blog on West Tennessee history, and when this position opened up, it was just too good to pass up, combining all my passions into one. So, you know, the biggest challenge for me right now here is I'm drinking from a fire hose because I love it all so much.
Andy Store time.
Oh, man. It is for anybody who's in the museum business, and they know what I'm talking about. You know, this is, and there's so much fun things to do here at Discovery Park. It's just a matter of figuring out which of the fun things we should do, we're going to keep doing.
So this is pretty new.
Yeah, five years old.
Looking forward, could this someday be the equivalent of you and I having been at Knott's Berry Farm day one?
Absolutely. I mean, Branson started somewhere, you know.
Literally, this has that kinetic potential.
I mean, you know, just in general, in this community, in this region, there are people who are going into the attractions businesses or restaurants or hotels because of Discovery Park of America. So it's generated.
There's a whole momentum,
absolutely.
Regional momentum. That's fascinating.
Yeah, we're having a tourism conference next week, you know, where everybody who's interested in tourism is going to be coming together, and we're going to be doing like a little summit.
Brainstorming.
Yep, brainstorm. How do we need to position this so that people know? You know, our research tells us that we still have a bit of an awareness problem, even just, you know,
in the state.
2 hours away. Yeah. So, you know, we're going to be working on that, is how do we get the word out about this amazing place?
Well, I think that's one of the reasons why I am just in a state of shock and blown away, because I knew nothing mm-hmm. about this place. Mm-hmm. I don't think I ever heard the name before.
Right. And there are a lot of attractions throughout the United States with the word Discovery. Right. So we have to really work hard to make sure that people hear that we're something bigger than a lot of those other ones.
I should let you go, but thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you. It's been fun chatting with you. I could talk about this for two more hours.
You and me both.
Thank you.
For further information, if somebody wanted to find out more, what would be the best?
You know what? If anybody wants more information, they go to discoveryparkofamerica.com, where they can search us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We're all over the place.
Okay. And what works best for you in social media world today?
You know, of course, like most people, Facebook gets the most number of people. But, you know, we can actually show off more on Instagram, because we can post more frequently. We can show our brainy side on Twitter. So we use them all in conjunction with each other and all support each other. My name is Scott Williams. We're here at Discovery Park of America in Union City, Tennessee.
Scott, thank you so much.
Thank you.
So here we are in a very remote, unique, distinctive village in Tennessee called Rugby. Tell us about the history and how you got here.
I'm Wayne Bowman. I'm a volunteer here. I tell everyone I'm the indentured volunteer because my wife's executive director. Rugby has been here since 1880. It was created as a village to attract young Englishmen who were the second sons of well-to-do families, but who wouldn't inherit anything. First sons inherited everything, second sons not so much. An author named Thomas Hughes, who was also a member of Parliament and social reformer, invested in this village with the idea that second sons could come over, acquire land, work as farmers or merchants, and get a fresh start.
I think one of the fascinating attributes of this community and its development is that it was a very divergent social experiment.
It was. We were actually a socialist village and a classless village when we were created, which meant that pretty much anyone could live here. So we had Englishmen, we had people from Pennsylvania and Indiana and who worked here to help build the village. We had African Americans, and they all were treated equally. The idea was that everyone shared, and as a Christian socialist village, everyone contributed to its success.
It's really interesting, because this wasn't the only social experiment in America or England at that time.
Yeah, there were a number of them around the country, several modeled after Rugby for second sons, others by different ethnic groups or people who had different ideas, but the idea of pursuing a utopia was very popular at that time.
It had spurts and setbacks and whatnot, and never really exploded as a community.
No, at its heyday, rugby had about 450 people here. That's when we had a big inn on one end of town, and rugby in its early days wasn't as remote as it is today because everyone traveled by rail. And if you're going from Chattanooga to Cincinnati, rugby was a natural stop. When the inn burned, the village lost a lot of its income source. So it's waxed and waned over the years. Today, our population is 79.
Looking forward, you have lots that are for sale that have been purchased. So there is that prospect in the near to distant future of a new generation coming in and creating an infusion of energy here.
In the 1990s, a subdivision was created adjacent to the village called Beacon Hill. And homes were built there that were English Victorian design, but were modern in structure. So that brought in quite a few of our current residents. Some of those have sold their homes to new people, and we have a number of younger people who are coming in as the next generation. In addition to that, there are still a number of lots available in Rugby for people to build. Our hope is that we'll have more folks up here.
So this is a true literal historic attraction today. So what is the auspices of the historic preservation?
Historic Rugby is managed by a company called Historic Rugby, Inc. It's a nonprofit that's been around for just over 50 years. We are sandwiched between the Big South Fork National River and Recreation Area, part of the National Park Service, and then the Rugby State Natural Area, which is a Tennessee-owned property. So there's lots of hiking and outdoor activities.
So who typically is attracted enough to divert off the interstate and make the trek out here to Rugby?
People who are curious about history, obviously. We have more and more adventure tourists who come for the hiking or kayaking or canoeing that's around the area. We have a number of events during the course of the year. British Fest is a celebration of English and Welsh and Irish and Scottish culture.
What happens at the fest?
We have music, we have plays that are read, we have dancing, we have food, all sorts of things that are focused around British culture. We have Irish road bowling, which means you get to throw a cannonball down a public road.
That's great. And this truly is off the beaten path, a real getaway. And I understand there's a place to stay here, an inn of sorts.
Yes, we have historic lodging as part of Historic Rugby. There's also a bed and breakfast called Gray Gables. It's right down the road from the village, and a couple of other private lodging houses. So we have people coming to stay all the time, transferring themselves back to the 1880s. We even have a couple of haunted rooms for people who are really adventurous.
And how did you guys come to be here?
Me personally?
Yeah, you and your wife.
Oh, my wife became executive director of Historic Rugby, and we moved from Knoxville up here. She has a background in anthropology and was interested in helping the village build on its historical mission.
One of the surprises of coming to the little rural outpost village of Rugby is that you guys are more wired in high-speed internet than a lot of people in big cities.
Yep. We have faster internet here than I had in Knoxville when we moved here 4 years ago because they couldn't hire math teachers for the local schools. There are a lot of rural schools here, and they couldn't afford math teachers for every school. So the local telephone company got a grant to put in fiber optic between the schools for distance learning. That allowed one teacher at the high school to teach all the schools, and he actually became the National Distance Learning Teacher of the Year. Telephone company had enough money left over after that to put fiber optic through their whole three-county service area. So we have remarkably fast internet way up here in the middle of nowhere.
So in everybody's home, you guys are high speed.
Yes.
I love it. So no wait for the dial-up.
Nope. Very ridiculous high speeds of internet.
Very, very cool. And for further information, y'all have a website, I'm sure.
Our website is historicrugby.org, and we're also on Facebook and pretty active there. And my name is Wayne Bowman.
Wayne, thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, and great weather today.
Yeah, it's beautiful here in Rugby.
All right, and I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from the historic village of Rugby in Tennessee. Ann Ross, and you're the director of tourism, Morristown area, Tennessee.
Yes, I am.
Kind of the heartland of Tennessee, isn't it?
We're located in East Tennessee. We're the halfway point between Knoxville and Bristol. and we're just about an hour away from Great Smoky Mountain National Park. So if you're coming to Great Smoky Mountain National Park, or if you're coming to Gatlinburg or Pigeon Forge or Sevierville, you know, we're just a quick hour away, especially if you're coming down I-81 from Virginia, anywhere in the Northeast, the Mid-Atlantic, we're there. We are one of those destinations that's basically a one day's drive from 75% of the population east of the Mississippi River.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
What are some of the attractions? I know some of my friends, they went out to Bush Beans.
Bush Beans, yes.
They love that.
Yes, Bush Beans. The dog wasn't there, unfortunately. They're very secretive about when the dog shows up. That's our neighbor, Jefferson County. We are fortunate that we have one of the Tennessee Valley Authority lakes, Cherokee Lake, which is the number 12 bass lake in the Southeast.
Wow.
So we consistently make that list every year. We have a lot of fishing tournaments on Cherokee Lake, and one of the things that you'll find on Cherokee Lake here is Panther Creek State Park, where you were today and you learned how to play disc golf.
That was cool.
Yeah.
And then we went on a hike.
Yes.
It was awesome this afternoon.
Yeah. Did you do the Trout Lily Trail?
It was about the 1 mile one.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. Yes, you did. You did.
That was beautiful.
Yeah. We have kind of branded ourselves as Tennessee's disc golf capital. We have 5 championship caliber 18-hole courses, and you do call those baskets holes when it comes to disc golf.
Well, I think that they were telling me at Panther that that's such a legendary one that is intimidating for some of the players.
That's our most recent course that we put in, and it's known as the Monster. It is a very intimidating course.
You play through a forest. I couldn't believe
it. Yeah. That is one that will really challenge the pros during the state championship the first weekend in June. Mm-hmm. It's always interesting to see them come off of Panther because they look really tired.
They're humbled, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
What are some of the other kind of central draws to why somebody should
divert
and spend time in Morristown?
Most of the folks who come here are coming here for the lake. Mm-hmm. They're coming to mountain bike at Panther Creek State Park. We have a couple of triathlons and mountain bike races that happen at that park every year. So they're coming here for outdoor entertainment. But once they get here, they find some really cool things. Our downtown, Main Street, has the only overhead sidewalk system in the country.
What?
So, yeah, the really cool thing is you can go shopping along Main Street in Morristown.
Yeah.
If it's pouring down rain, and you're not going to get wet because you've got sidewalks above you. That was all part of an urban renewal project in the 1960s. Morristown is built around Turkey Creek, and Turkey Creek flooded, and the downtown flooded. So the powers that be decided, let's put in some second-story sidewalks to kind of spur development on the second story. And our downtown has gone through a resurgence in the past couple of years. We've got quite a few unique businesses down there, some really great shops. And
you know, I was talking to a food writer today, a friend of mine, and I forget the place she was talking about, but she was going, oh, my God, this is one of the most awesome ma-and-pa little restaurant diners she's ever...
Little Dutch restaurant. They celebrate 80 years this year in 2019.
But she was so raving about their food.
Little Dutch is awesome. Mm-hmm. They are awesome. They kind of anchor one end of Main Street. Our area is unique in the fact that we have a 5-day-a-week farmer's market that is open April through October. Anchoring the other end of the historic district is the Rose Center for the Arts, which is in an old Victorian schoolhouse, and there is something going on almost every night of the week there. Every weekend you can go to a concert there.
Let's talk about economic vitality of this community, because I'm frankly blown away what you guys have here, and the international bus manufacturer that you got to locate here. That's incredible.
Yes, it is. It is. We started out as a furniture manufacturing hub, and of course when things went offshore, there were some real tough economic times for Morristown, and luckily we have a chamber of commerce and a county government and city government who understand economic development and partner.
How long ago did you attract Colgate? How long have they been
here? I think Colgate's been here since the mid-90s.
Okay.
They've done an expansion since they've been here.
And what are they?
What they manufacture here, their product line is called Total, and they manufacture both the professional line for dentists and the retail line here. And it's the toothpaste and mouthwash, and there are some prescription products that are part of that line, from what I understand.
And what was it that got Colgate to come here? What
Well, part of it
them?
Was we had city-owned land that they were able to acquire at a decent price. The state and the city believe in tax increment financing or payment in lieu of taxes, and that is all worked through, you know, the Tennessee Department of Community and Economic Development. We just had some business leaders who understood what it took to attract industry. And we are very blessed because not everyone surrounding us has been that blessed.
Well, let's talk about even closer to the here and now new company, then that's Van Hool. That's one of the premier bus manufacturers on planet Earth.
Yes, it is.
It's incredible.
Yes.
And they're European.
Yes.
And
that came about with the Buy America Act, because they manufacture both motor coaches and transit buses. And in order to sell their transit buses to cities, municipalities, a certain percentage of the bus has to be manufactured with U.S.-made parts. And so they knew the time was right for them to look for a place in North America, preferably in the States. And because of Morristown's relationship with the Tennessee Valley Authority and the state of Tennessee, we were one of three locations that were considered for that. We were the only one in Tennessee, and the package that was offered to them was very attractive. We had a site ready, a build-ready site that they could purchase, and they expect to be adding about 600 jobs.
Wow, and that's local jobs.
Yes, in our local area, in the surrounding counties. We draw our workforce from about an 8-county area.
That's really cool. So yeah. You really are a viable hub for employment and manufacturing and whatnot.
Absolutely. Colgate, of course, yeah. And then Van Hool, and then a lot of our other industries manufacture components for lawnmowers, the automotive industry, you know, names that you might not necessarily know, but you may own something that has something in it that was manufactured in Morristown.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
And to learn more about Morristown and the area,
check out our website, visit MorristownTN.com, or check out our Facebook page, visit MorristownTN, or you can call me at the chamber at 423-586-6382.
All right, Ann Ross, Director of Tourism. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tom.
What a pleasure.
I'm Blaina Talent-Bass, and I'm the Director of Tourism for Monroe County Government.
Monroe County is exactly where in Tennessee?
So Monroe County is located in the southeastern part of Tennessee, so we're right at the border between, you know, Tennessee and North Carolina. So actually a part of our county lines with the state of North Carolina.
So you literally are a border town.
We certainly are, yes.
This is a real rural area. There are no big metropolitan cities, centers in the whole county, right?
No, we don't have any large metropolitan areas, but the great thing about Monroe County is that we're very centrally located. So if you want to go to a larger city, you're only 45 minutes away, if that, to Maryville, and then about an hour to Knoxville, and about an hour and 15 minutes to Chattanooga. So if you want to do that type of larger city feel, it's a day trip away. You can have a lot of fun there, but you are still in small town USA, so you get to enjoy all the perks of that.
You really are 1,000 miles away from modern metropolitan America. These are small towns. I mean, we were with a woman earlier today, and I asked when her family first moved here, and I think it was 1813 or some
yes.
crazy few generations ago.
Definitely. So you have folks around Monroe County, most of them have family that have been here since the 1800s. It's such a special place. Once people get here, they don't want to leave. And a lot of times when people visit, they want to make this place their home. And we take a lot of pride and honor in that.
And even though, I mean, it's tough to make it here, you know, for young people, there are not huge corporate enterprises and whatnot. So you had to be really creative to carve a survival niche here.
That's definitely true. So you will find a lot of individuals take advantage of our industries that are located in Bonnor. And of course, tourism is big here. So places like the Lossie and the Sequoia Birthplace Museum, they are able to employ individuals that have some very specific talents. And then you have those that they want to live here so bad, they're willing to drive an hour to work every day and an hour back because it's worth it. Because you get to raise your family and be in such a small town, and you have all the benefits that Monroe County has to offer. And so it's worth the drive to get to work.
But even though you don't have the big, you know, Nashville attractions and draws, people love it here. And they love it probably to a degree because those things aren't here. So much so that the kids that grow up here, tell us about the process. A lot of them either by choice leave, or some think they have to leave, but something happens to them all for the most part and they come back. Tell us about that.
Yes, that's very true. So, you know, growing up in a small area like Monroe County, although we are a large land mass, very small towns, we have four towns that make up the county: Vonore, Sweetwater, Tellico Plains, and Madisonville. And you have a lot of teenagers, especially in their junior, senior year of high school, that are talking about how they're going to move away. They're getting out of the small town. But once they do, they realize how valuable Monroe County is in their small town and the benefits of being in a small environment like we have here, and they can't wait to come back home.
So would it be fair to distill it down to there's a sense of community that they don't have, can't find elsewhere?
That's definitely true. So there is a sense of community, but also the fact that the things that we have here are so unique to our area. You know, you can be on the lake and then on the river in the same day. You can see a 90-foot waterfall and then see the America's largest underground lake in a day, all inside of our county. And so once you move away, you realize, oh my goodness, these things aren't anywhere else. Everywhere else, they're worried about the hustle and bustle of what's going on in everyday business life. But here, we can slow things down and appreciate what the natural area has to offer. And that allows us to appreciate each other and build that community that we have here.
And talk to us for a moment about economic development and the young people that come up with creative ideas, little startups, whether it be a cafe or art gallery or whatever. That is happening here.
Yes, it certainly is. So we have an art gallery in Tellico, and it's a quaint little gallery. It's beautiful. And so there's the opportunity there. You also will find throughout restaurants in Monroe County art displayed. And you can tell just by that alone that there is a support for individuals that have that talent. And then what's really neat is we do have a main street here in Sweetwater, Tennessee, and there's all sorts of entrepreneurships going on there. Lots of young business owners that are opening up their own shops and making their dreams of having their own business come true right here in our small county. So you see those people that are very passionate about what they want to do, but they want to make sure to blossom here in this area because this is their home.
Give us a couple of examples that come in, some of the cool new businesses that you would take me to.
Well, I don't know if you would be interested in this business, but you know, we were just mentioning the Main Street in Sweetwater. One of my favorite boutiques is Her Majesty Boutique. It's obviously a boutique for women, so it wouldn't have any of your clothing, but it's very beautiful attire, but also very affordable. And so that's a nice boutique to stop in at. There's also Dogwood Lane, which is also geared towards females, you know, and it has some things for children and babies. Really nice. One of my favorite stops in downtown Sweetwater is Cup Runneth Over, which is a coffee shop, has a sweets as well, so has some cupcakes and things like that. I think you would enjoy that stop a little bit more. So they have great smoothies too, so if you don't like coffee, there's just something for everybody there. And so places like that are unique and special that you will not find anywhere else are located right here in Monroe County.
And how about entertainment? live entertainment, music festivals?
So we have several festivals throughout the year. So we have four. We actually just hosted one of our festivals, and we have a few more coming up. So our Ramp Festival, and so that's in Ball Place. So of course, during those type of festivals, we have live music and entertainment available. We also have the Muscadine Festival, the National Muscadine Festival that happens in September, the Chairhella Skyway Festival that happens in October, and we're always adding different events throughout the year. And so during those type of special events, there's live entertainment and music opportunities as well. So those are always really unique and kind of gives you a little slice of what it's like to be here in Monroe County.
So you get people from North Carolina, from Virginia, mm-hmm. Georgia, all over the place that come here.
We really do. So the Southeast, we have a lot of visitors from the Southeast, but we'll also catch people from California. You know, just yesterday I had a motorcyclist come in. He is from California, and he started in October traveling the United States, and he made sure to mark the Chairhella Skyway as one of his destinations. So he's been traveling from California all the way here to the East Coast almost since October. So you run into people like that.
Tell us about your Skyway, because that's a parallel to the Blue Ridge Parkway.
It is. So the Chairhella Skyway is a national scenic byway. It's gorgeous. The views are remarkable. It starts in Tellico Plains, Tennessee, and it ends in Robbinsville, North Carolina. And so it'll take you about an hour, hour and a half to get to Robbinsville from Tellico Plains, depending on how often you stop. And it is a lot like, you know, a lot of people compare us to the Blue Ridge Skyway. We have around a million visitors a year is estimation. And it has some of the best driving in the world because of the curve system that's located on the Chairhella Skyway and just the views. So if you pull over at any of the stops, the views that you take in are just breathtaking.
And one more cool thing, the altitude.
That's true. So when you're driving up to the Skyway, the altitude gets up to 5,500 feet. And so that's pretty cool considering how far you climb to drive.
So what you're looking down on.
That's exactly right. And all the directions that you can see.
For further information.
For further information, you can visit MonroeCountyTourism.com or find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Pinterest as Visit Monroe 10. I'm Blaina Talent Best with Monroe County Tourism.
Blaine, thanks for sharing.
Thank you.
All right, I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Tennessee. We'll see you here.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world.
Associate producers include Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada, Molly Blaisdell, San Francisco, and Katya Singel, San Luis Obispo, California.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided in part by the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. People often associate the Society of St. Vincent de Paul with thrift stores. Donations like clothing, your gently used couch, or still serviceable washing machine generate funds to assist the Society in putting food on the table for people in need, or keeping the lights on and families in their homes. To find a St. Vincent de Paul thrift store in your area, visit svdpusa.org.
The underbed music used in the show was performed by Asheville, North Carolina-based musician David Holt, winner of 5 Grammy Awards.
Goodbye, goodbye. Well, wish I could stay. Goodbye, goodbye. Farewell, where I'm going when I get there, I can never